And welcome to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your Santa host. And yes, I have been Santa in a past life. Triforce Todd, and joining me today is my elf on a shelf, Oreo Will.
'Twas the night before Christmas throughout the three houses, with Will, Todd, and Tyler, stirring like mouses.
What?
With Tyler in clouds, with Sonic in his head, with Splatoon, love conquers, money is dead. Todd with Emblem, who has some RNG luck, to another game's boss, which he technically got stuck.
Ugh.
Nip goes on in another sect. Merry Christmas to all. Nintendo, when's the next Direct?
Alright, I'm gonna give you, that's a clapping moment. I'll give you that,
yeah,
Mr. Will.
On.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I don't like that you rubbed the failure of Will Town Hero in my face, but but you sticking it to Tyler over the thing he still can't get over, I do appreciate.
You got two verses. Since you're the host, I gave you two verses, so be thankful.
I do want to note, Tyler, that Will did not talk about himself, so we probably should think of a verse for him.
Listen,
I
am not that creative.
I'll do it. Let me think.
Did you write that down, Will?
Actually, did during this Thursday my workday. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Nice.
I'm
mean,
sure.
If you just like remembered that, that would have been amazing.
I would have, but I'm also the host, so. Let's see. With Christmas in his heart, he hoped his wish was Will's. I lost it there. All right. Hold on. With Christmas in his heart, Will wished his wishes would come true. But he can't apply it to Fire Emblem because he's not done with his first run through.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And of course, our other co-host, Ebenezer Tyler. Or, sorry, Telly is Tyler.
I mean, listen, Ebenezer is a great man. I'm a big guy.
All right. Well, like we said, this is the holiday season. We are, in fact, only 6 days away from Christmas. Somehow, and we're gonna have a little bit of a lax day today. You know, not a lot of news, slight talk of video games, and a very fun little main event for you before you head to the final days before Christmas. But of course, we're gonna get started off with what have you been playing? Tyler, why don't you start us off tonight? What have you been playing?
I started feeling the itch to go back to play Fire Emblem some more, so I have started my Edelgard run, and I went back to the maddening difficulty, and lessons learned from last time have already been applied, because the mock battle was really hard with the blue lions, but this time around, it was fairly simple. I guess the one kind of adjust to how different the mode is feels like, I don't know, it's become simpler, I guess, like any task that you've done before. But that's really fun. I'm really early in it. I guess I'm on chapter 3 right now. But I hope to finish before the end of the new year, because I really have been feeling the need to 11S. But I figured that'd be a good way to start the new year with another big RPG. So in the meantime, I've been playing Fire Emblem, a little bit of Luigi's Mansion, jump back into that. I'm trying to find all the gems. I can't help myself. Like, when I play Luigi's Mansion, I want to every nook and cranny, because there's so many little things that you can do, so many little things that happen, even if they're just Easter eggs, if you interact with the environment. So I've been really taking my time getting through that. But I like the game a lot. I think it's a true return to form for the series after Dark Moon, which was under. And then I am back in on Fire Emblem Heroes. I think maybe it's because there's not a ton of new games out.
No.
But the latest Faye channel, they did a good job of adding some new codes. And when I went in, I realized that they definitely have been adding sporadically, because there was a ton of new things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they the Christmas Marth banner. I had to get that.
With his sister, no less.
Yes, with his sister. Exactly. Very cool. So I've been playing that, and I did get Christmas Marth, which was nice.
Lucky.
That pretty quickly.
Lucky.
I got two of them, actually, and I got Christmas Othus. So I had a nice little run of luck in Faye. I mean, I had 200 orbs, so but it worked out. I was quite pleased with that. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of it right now. I am really, really excited for the first Nintendo Direct of the year, because I guess with the year winding down. Were you saying something, Todd?
I was just saying, like, we need it. We need the direct.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, we do. We do. Because with the year winding down, like, in December, so I feel like we're hitting that lull that the Switch is kind of annually at, and I need the direct to get me hyped again.
Well, I mean, to be fair, last year, though, we had a little game called Smash Brothers.
We did.
We did. But still, I understand a lot, and I'm in that place myself. I'm actually waiting for Christmas because I know I'm getting Pokemon Shield. I mean, I may have looked at my presents and seen certain shapes and recognized a certain Switch container, but you never know. All right, Will, what about you?
Unfortunately, frankly, for me, like, work has been more or less been quite busy on my side. So the only thing I've managed to play is Fire Emblem Heroes, which I actually managed to get a Zephyo from my first session. And after that, I just basically continue on with the Tempest Trials and Mjolnir Strikes, which, I gotta say, like, if you have Surtur, it makes things so much more easier to just put him on the front lines and just let his fire do the work. So, like, the big thing, Mjolnir Strike, a little bit of Fire Emblem Heroes. I actually have not been actually going back to Death Stranding, sadly enough. Like, I mean, I'm almost there, but
sad.
I just need to... Yes. You don't need to give him more of the game. Yes.
It's not a game. It's a package simulator. All right?
Amazon Prime simulator.
Yes! We'll deliver it to you within 2 days if you pay an annual fee.
So, yeah, I actually have not managed to get back to Death Stranding in a few days. I mean, the only thing I actually have managed to play back again is Overwatch with the second week. With getting Moira's legendary, I think, yeah, epic skin, I believe. It's kind of like a bit more like Bowie slash Christmas colors. So, yeah. So, yeah, just basically continuing a little bit of Overwatch, this Christmas special. But overall, it has been generally quiet for me. But there is one story I kind of want to briefly share is like, I finally get to saw Mandalorian with my brother this past few days.
No spoilers.
That's what actually we've been doing. And I get why it's good. I get it. This is like legit the good Star Wars, and of course Yoda. So,
Baby Yoda.
But so, yes, Baby Yoda has been dubbed it so far. So, but yeah, if you manage to get the Disney Plus account, then yeah, definitely Mandalorian is definitely worth it. It is the legit good Star Wars. So definitely, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
So I'm excited for that too. I am very curious as to what inspired you to mention that.
Again, I just need something to fill it in, and I guess that will be something I've been playing. I mean, it's Disney's part of like the Star Wars, so I guess I have been watching the media, so hey, I need something to fill in my time. Aside from, I gotta go work, attack my backlog of Mountain of Games, so sure.
Yeah, you know, like your first run through of Fire Emblem that you've had for months and still haven't finished.
Right. Can it?
No. No, you brought up the cruelty of what happened to me in Little Town Hero. You deserve no mercy.
Hey, it's my poem. It's my poem. It's my creative child.
Fine. For me, I've honestly had a very Fire Emblem week. I have, of course, been playing Heroes, and I've been playing the Tempest Trials. The weird thing is that because of the time change, I have to adjust how I play the Time Trials or the Tempest Trials because. For me, where I am in my time zone, before the time change, you know, fall back, I would have up until 2 a.m. to do like a day of, you know, Tempest Trials, and then everything would reset. Now I have until 1, but I stay up past 1, so I have to make sure I get, you know, as much playtime as I do before 1 o'clock, before the reset happens, otherwise I lose the bonus, and I don't. You know, I try and get at least 5,000 a day, if not more, so that way I can ensure I get to 50,000. So I'm having to retrain my brain so that I can get everything. Because, you know, those orbs are valuable. And I'm a little over 200 myself, I do believe. So I'm waiting for the next banner. I wasn't interested in the Christmas banner. I've never really been interested in the holiday banners or whatever. And although fighting... Sothis in the Tempest Trials final level is such a pain. I mean, even my Brave Ike, who has like 40 plus 3 and really great stats and stuff and moves, is just, he gets decimated. It's crazy. But I guess I should be grateful she doesn't attack at long range because I can just whittle her down with magic users.
Like, she gets that resist buff.
Yeah.
Or she can attack defense or resistance, and I'm sure Brave Ike does not have good resistance.
Resistance, yeah, probably not. Oh, boy. But as promised, I did get back into Fire Emblem Three Houses, and I finally beat the Golden Deer Run, I will say that it was, the run itself was very fun and very atypical. It did have some similar levels to Blue Lions, but it did have a lot of fresh stuff that I appreciated, including some very big story revelations, which I can't talk about because of a certain someone who hasn't even beaten one run through of the game. Will. And so, but that was really cool. That like the penultimate level was a really cool one in terms of the layout and the look. It was very, very
Yeah.
fun. And oh wait, Tyler, you've actually been there. Oh yeah.
I have.
'Cause
Yeah,
you've
I've been
beaten
there. I've been there
it.
twice.
Yes, you
I've done that
have.
one. Yeah.
Anyway, but
Yes. No,
the
that
fun
is a good map though.
it was. It really was. It really tested me in ways, 'cause I was like, okay, I think I have it. Oh wait, no, I don't have it. And it's like, gotta keep going. And yeah. I had some close calls, but I pulled it through with like 7 or 8 time reverses left. And then the final level, A for effort, C for execution. Because it was a tough one to do if you didn't have the right units, but for whatever reason, my Byleth was just so OP, and I wasn't doing anything special with him outside of just leveling up. He was at level, gosh, what was he at? Like 60 maybe. Like he wasn't as high as I had him like my Blue Lions run, but he was just like tearing through everybody, and I didn't even have my sword at the I didn't even have him equipped with Sword of the Creator because I was saving that for the final boss, who I still can't talk about because of Will. And but between him and Catherine, I just like decimated the level, and I got through it relatively easily. Whereas the other two, I had a hard time between certain attacks from the bosses and all that. Still a very fun run. The ending was surprising in terms of the people like I had get with. I married Catherine, because why not? She is just as amazing as I thought she would be in her marriage proposal and all that. Very knightly, I'll say that. Definitely worth a watch. But the rest of the characters, if you had asked me who would probably get paired up with who, I would have not gotten a single one right. Manuela didn't get married to anybody, which was hilarious because I thought she was gonna get married to Lorenz. But she had a beautiful ending regardless, so props to her. Let's see, Flayne, Seth, didn't care about them. Oh, Marianne and Hilda became like
Yeah.
BFFs.
If that was one in mine too. I feel like they like prioritize that one.
Good to know. So, but that one was adorable. That was very, very, very cute. Not total surprise, but Raphael and Ignatz got together, and by that I mean
Oh.
like, brothers. And
Brothers are
then,
pretty much
and this is a small spoiler, but then Ignatz marries Raphael's sister, which I loved. I was just like, oh, that's perfect, 'cause they're already best friends, and now he's like married to the sister, now they're really family. I really like that. That was a nice touch.
Yes.
Let's see, who am I forgetting? Lysithia, she didn't get with anybody. I was really surprised. I thought for sure she would have gotten with Raphael by how many times I had them working together. So maybe they do have priorities. I don't know. And then Lorenz and Claude.
That
Okay.
one's so good, though. I love
It
that one.
was hilarious. I mean, did they infer that they got together, but they keep it kind of coy, and
Oh,
the whole.
no, I didn't think of it that way at
You
all.
didn't?
No,
Okay. Okay.
I mean, Lorenz becomes the leader of
The
Vogon,
Alliance.
and yeah, and Claude becomes the leader of Almira,
Right.
and then they meet up and
Well, it's
break
just
down
the
the
way
barriers.
it's just the way they phrased it. They go, they meet up, and when they did, lo and behold, Claude is there, and people wondered if that was his plan the whole time, but both Claude and Lorenz
Yeah.
denied it. And just the way they worded it kind of made me wonder. And I'm pretty sure Lorenz is one of the people you can do same gender relationship with, but I don't remember now. So. But it was fun. It did give me some revelations that I desperately needed in terms of the storyline, and I'm grateful to that. I still wish, and we were talking about this on Discord, that I still wish that they didn't make it so that you had to play all three storylines to get all the information. Because there were some key things that you had to play the other storylines to understand. And I'm not even talking about the Aelgard side of the story. That's a different thing entirely. But like,
Yeah.
who are the people that slither in the dark, as they're referred to? How are these people able to do certain things? And they don't explain everything still. But and I've played three of the four storylines, and I'm honestly not sure how much the Silver Snow storyline reveals about anything. But you know, I hope. Go ahead.
I see where you're saying. Sorry, I see where you're saying what you're saying. But I think Three Houses is themes like they. The idea is you'll see what happens for characters if you chose a different path. It really is about the power of choice.
Yeah.
How it, you know, how when time changes, the people who you stay with impacts your future.
Well, it's just like...
I feel like I agree, but there are so many powerful moments come from not getting all the information when you do play the other routes. Moments that silly individually become so much more powerful. And I put in our chat, and you agree with me on this one, that in Golden Deer, that was my first run. And Dimitri, spoiler alert, dies at the battle on the in Gronder Field. I laughed out loud because Hilda's like, "I saw him. He died." And it was just
pretty
like,
much
the main character just died like that, like off screen, like totally insignificant. That's so rushed. But then when you play Blue Lions, Dimitri tells you he like after you like you save him, he says, "I would have died a meaningless life had we not been together." And like seeing that and knowing, oh my god, he's right, like he would have died a meaningless, like he did, I saw it, makes it
saw
all
off screen
more impactful.
No, and I agree with that, but it's like the difference between Three Houses and Fire Emblem Fates is that you could play all three versions of Fates, but you would still have a complete story every single time. Birthright, Conquest, Revelations all have their own unique storylines, their own paths, and their own unique endings. And yet you do get a slightly fuller picture, especially once you play Revelations, but you don't need to. If you only played Birthright, you could say, "I'm fine with how this ends." Whereas if you play Blue Lions, Golden Deer, and Black Eagles on their own, especially Black Eagles, you're left with so many questions. Well, I'm saying that because she's technically the dark path at the beginning. They should tell you to play. You know, you're say, wait a minute, what was this, and what was this, and what about that? Like, you'll understand once you beat it, when you get to, like, the ending cutscene of, you know, Geralt explaining what happens next. There's a specific line that just really ticks me off. It's just like, oh, great, this happened off-screen. Why does that happen off-screen? I mean, this could be, like, two more chapters. So, it's just one of those things. But either way, we need to move on. But still, love this Fire Emblem game. My playtime was about 120 hours for all three houses, give or take. Ironically, the first one took me a lot longer than the last two, even though those were on the harder difficulty. So take that what you will. So, but a lot of fun with this game. Still one of my games of the year by far. Shouldn't have been Game Awards for Best of the Year, except the fans voted it that way. So who's the real winner here? Anyway, but it is kind of a dead zone. I'm probably gonna be binging a lot of Netflix in the next week or so until I get Pokemon Shield, and then I'll replay Pokemon for a couple weeks. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Where's my Nintendo Direct? Come on. So. All right. Well, news-wise, it's been a lighter week, but we still got some good stuff. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right. So after. If you recall, last week was really about the Game Awards, and dear gosh, the Nintendo stuff. I mean, that reveal of the fifth character. Oh, wait, that didn't happen? I'm so sorry. But they revealed Kingdom Hearts 3 on Switch. Oh, wait, that didn't happen either. But that Bayonetta trailer. Oh, wait, that didn't happen either. I might need to refresh my notes. I'm kidding. All jokes aside, the Game Awards honestly does have something to be very, very happy about, because they absolutely crushed it in terms of how many people watched it. All right, there were 45 million live streams of the Game Awards, meaning that people watching it live, 45 million, which here's the bigger number, and this is really amazing, a 73% increase over last year's viewing. Wow.
Yeah, that's staggering. I do wonder how much was because anticipating a Super Smash reveal.
I would say at least 10%. I think that's fair. Because
Yeah,
not
I do too.
everyone, not
Honestly, that
everyone.
sounds like it might be a lot, but that's probably.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. Not everyone is looking to watch this for the reveals, as weird as it may sound. And not everyone is a Smash Brothers player, which is really weird. But I mean, even if we took every single Smash Brothers fan that is out there that has actually bought the game, which is at, what, 16 million, like right now, that would still be 29 million people viewing it, which would still be huge, and that would still be a like a 36% increase over the previous year. So the fa even if there were a lot of Nintendo fans in the house or on the internet, this would still be a huge win. So all of our jokes about it aside and all the negative reviews, people still watched it. So that's props to Keeley right there.
It's definitely kind of like I can't understand like the VGA like Jeff Keighley these days basically want to make this thing a legit show. It's just definitely regarding to like how he's gonna develop as the years goes on. I mean, again, the earlier year was pretty corporate and like very like hollow, but now like before the recent awards and all that, like maybe it can finally change its image. I mean, the only thing I just ask them is please do not put any more city ads. Do not be too corporate. Do not go overboard with the old ads because it just like makes it look you're really trying to push a product. So yeah, just ease up on the ads and you'll be fine, Jeff Keighley.
Tyler?
Yeah, no, I think that it's impressive that many people tuned in, but I do think that next year they're going to have to promise some bigger review or bigger announcements coming in if they want to keep that trend going upwards. It's a tough sell for me to want to watch it again after just the whole way they ran. I can't they close Diesel Fast and Furious game. Like that was their final, like their grand finale, which just made no sense. I know that the company, like Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, have a big say in when things get presented. When the Xbox, for example, Xbox wanted that to kick off the show, which makes sense. So of course they did that. But if they're able to have any control over what revealed when, hopefully next year the pacing is better.
Well, we'll see. We shall see. But I think this is promising because as much as I rip the game more at the times, you know, this really is a passion product of Geoff Keighley, who, you know, who is a gamer. He is a fan. He is a guy who just wants to make good stuff and make a place where gamers can, you know, just have fun with each other and, you know, cheer on the games that they love. And that's what this is. It's still got some issues to work out, but it's still a decent product overall. But I do want to note that more people watch the Game Awards than the Oscars and the Grammys combined.
Like, it
So.
just kind of reminds me of, like, last year, like, remember that one guy from the producer of Two Brothers who just pretty much cussed the BG, the Oscars from
Yeah.
last year?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
not... good stuff. Good stuff. Oh, I do want to note, Geoff Keighley has been reminiscing about past the Game Awards, and he noted that when Breath of the Wild won Game of the Year, he said that Eiji Aonuma, who's the longtime producer of the franchise, he not only was so thrilled to get to win, but when the show was over and he went back to Japan, he actually called up Keighley and asked him the measurements of the award because he hadn't gotten to take it home with him. I guess it's like shipped to the people like with embroidered and whatever, but he actually asked what the measurements were so that he could perfectly place it on his desk. So that's how much that award, you know, only a few years of life, meant to Aonuma, that he wanted it on his desk to show him that he made like a game of the year. So that must have been a really good moment for Keighley.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
Oh yeah. Right, moving on. We have okay, Pokemon. Yeah,
Portal.
we have a lot of Pokemon stuff to talk about. With the good, the weird, the ugly, and the stuff in between. Actually, I just checked it. I take that back. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So check this out. So you guys remember Pokemon the first movie, right?
Right, right,
Of course.
right, right.
All right. So There is a Tokyo Anime Award Festival, and they decided that for their life one of their lifetime achievement awards, they're going to give a one of these awards to the writer of the original Pokemon movie. Yeah, his name was Takeshi Shudo. He worked on both Pokemon, the first movie when it came out, and he also worked on the anime up until 2002. So, and it was his work has been very much praised for his time on the series and the first movie. So he is going to get a posthumous award because he passed away in 2010. But the fact that Pokemon is getting an award for its writing, I like that. And he's worked on other animes too, for the record. He was on a Go Shogun and Legend of Galactic Heroes and blah blah blah. But he's most known for Pokemon, and so I'm glad that he's getting honored for that.
It's good to hear it's going to receive the honor. Like, I mean, Pokemon, it's definitely, I feel like Pokemon is definitely one of those shows that's very, it's similar to Disney. Like, it may seem very kiddish at first, but it has like a very deep meaning once you like really examine it. I mean,
Oh yeah.
also in the same style like of a Ghibli film, basically.
Oh
So
yeah.
yeah, good to see that Pokemon got its honors.
Yeah, what like no joke, X, Y, and Z, the various series of the Kalos region, that was some of the deepest stuff I had ever seen in Pokemon before. It actually inspired me, no joke, at times to be a better, comic person because of some of the stuff that was going on with Serena, which is why she's my favorite Ash companion. And should totally be Ash's girlfriend. Please bring her back. And if you know what the next anime is about, they have that option. So bring back Serena. Let's start a hashtag. So that's the good. Now let's talk about the bad. Now when I say bad, I don't mean like Pokemon is bad. More like what happened to Pokemon is bad. Because if you recall the Pokemon Sword and Shield leaks, yeah, that was bad because the Pokemon Company really wanted to keep things a secret to, give people surprises, to have them go into the game with a sense of real awe and wonder. But leakers are like, oh, screw that. Well, screw you, because the Pokemon Company is trying to sue your sorry butts, and I kid you not, they got a big win in the courts. They now have the ability to go onto Discord and 4chan and find the leakers who exposed everything. So, you better watch out. They're coming to catch them all.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back regarding to our earlier discussion if leaks are probably the best or the worst for the industry. And yeah, like for the course, giving them permission to like really go after like the leakers and 4chan. I mean, one, good luck, because again, 4chan is 4chan, but at the same time, I'm glad like justice has been served again. Like, these developers, they worked many years trying to keep it under wraps. I mean, and Nintendo is known to keep things under wraps, so to know that something leaked, it's serious. So yeah.
Okay, I
I'm
do.
just
Go ahead.
surprised that I'm surprised like how far they're willing to go to kind of avenge this, I guess what's called debacle. I think they have to kind of accept that this is how things are now. If they find the person and make an example of him, I'm that the problem won't happen again anyway. But that being said, I totally understand where they're coming from and why they would be reacting or.
Well, it's just that, they've been very open in the past about everything that's going on with Pokemon. They usually, by the end, have exposed at least three-fourths of the Pokedex outside of maybe a few key characters because they want, like, story reasons and all that. But this was,
Right,
like,
right.
they were making a concerted effort to surprise people. And they were trying so hard to surprise everyone with all these new Pokemon and all these new variations and all that. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks before the game comes out, when they must be feeling their most relaxed, game's gone gold, they're about to release it, then a slew of leaks just comes everywhere. And A, they're probably wondering where did all these leaks come from in terms of how they got the games. And then the other thing is like, do these fans hate us so much that they want to spoil everything we've worked hard for? So they're like, no, screw this. We're going to go after them. We need to do this because A, it hurts our product in a way it honestly does. And it's a matter of pride because if they can't take care of their own game, then what are they doing? It's not unlike Fortnite going after the cheaters who would like use hacks and ROMs and all that stuff to boost themselves, and they took them to court. I mean, it was hilarious because they were seeming like a 19-year-old at one point, and it came off as petty, but it's just like, no, you broke the rules. It says so right here. We're suing your sorry carcass. So, I don't know. I'm just glad I wasn't one of the leakers. Or was I? No, I really wasn't. I respect Pokemon too much to do that to them.
The sirens in the ground, the Nintendo ninjas. Get down on the ground!
It's like, grabs the Master Sword. Shh, you'll never take me alive! I beat Ganon, I can beat you! Sir, put down the Master Sword. It is not good enough to block bullets. Are you sure about that? I've blocked lightning! No. I play a mean game of tennis with this thing. Appreciate anyone who got that reference. Anyway. So, I do apologize. I forgot there actually is one weird bit of Poke news before we get to the bat to the wrong, you know, the ugly, and that is Ball Guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Easily the weirdest thing to ever be included in a Pokemon game, Ball Guy, and yes, that's saying something. All right, if you somehow have missed him in Pokemon Sword and Shield, he is the guy that you talk to. He has a big Pokeball on his head, and he gives you special Pokeballs. Just for talking to him. That's cool. But now, in a special, I guess, celebration of Ball Guy, you can now enter special codes, and if you do, you can get the certain Pokeballs again, like the Fastball, the Moonball, Level Ball, Heavy, Lure, Beast, Love, Friend, or Dream Ball. The codes are online. You can find them and then just enter them into the game, and then Ball Guy will get them to you. So, if you need some extra Pokeballs, there you go. And then, there was the meanest scene in the history of the Pokemon anime.
Oh, well,
That's
here we go.
aggravating.
Here we go.
No, it's wrong. It's totally wrong. All right, and this is the guy who has seen virtually every episode except like the banned episodes and I think a few of the spin-offs, but whatever. There have been some mean moments in the franchise. There's no doubt. Charmander being abandoned on a rock, basically being left to die. What happens to Meowth in his origin story? You know, certain things that happen to Ash. What happens to Serena at times? You know, there's some bad stuff, but rarely is it so bad that the main character is the one committing this crap. All right, it's always an offshoot character. It's always something happening to the main characters. Well, in the upcoming Pokemon anime, which is called Pokemon the Series, Ash's new, I guess, friend or partner, whatever you want to call it, his name is Gao or Go or something like that. It's a reference to
Think it's
Pokemon
go.
Go. I've heard it say Gao and Go, but we'll call him Go because that's what the tweet's been saying. So Go is a brand new Pokemon trainer. So Ash, if you forgot, is gonna win the Alola League. That's been on the internet forever. I'm not gonna say spoilers to that. He's going to be in the Alola League, and then he's basically doing a victory tour of the regions, and he's going to end up at Galar, and he's going to meet Go, who is from Galar, and he's wanting to catch every single Pokemon. So he's like the young Ash, but he has a specific dream of being with a specific Pokemon. So what happens is that they meet Scorbunny, the best starter from Galar, and Scorbunny makes it clear that he wants to be Go's partner. So if this was any other series, Go would be like, "Oh my gosh, Scorbunny, you want to be my partner? That's awesome. Pokeball, go!" And then Scorbunny would like high five the Pokeball, and he would go in, and I caught a Scorbunny, and we all live happily ever after. Does that happen? No, because pardon my French, but Go decided to be a dick, and he said, I don't want you as my partner. I want Mew to be my partner." And the look on Scorbunny's face when he is rejected for a legendary that you are never gonna catch is
Great
like the
point. He's never gonna
biggest.
catch him.
Pretty much, you are never gonna catch this Pokemon. I don't care. And as idiot, if you do catch him, you don't know when. So you're basically saying, "I don't want to catch any Pokemon before Mew." Hello, you said you want to catch them all. So you're literally defeating the purpose of your journey. And this Scorbunny is epic. He wants to go with you. That makes it less about animal, animal fighting, more about friendship, which is what Pokemon's supposed to be promoting. And no, you just dismiss this rabbit because, oh, I want a legendary Pokemon as my partner and only them. Really?
Yeah, like, just the fact I saw, like, the contact clips, like, again, Scorbunny literally fell down a hill, went through, crossed it a river, nearly drowning with his natural weakness, just to go and try to team up and go. But that rejection, especially when, like, you're just, like, presenting, is it a he or she? I can't tell. But, yeah,
goes
just presenting itself.
Or is it
the
Scorbunny?
No, it's the Scorbunny. The Scorbunny.
I think male. I think he's a male.
Okay, yeah, just he was presenting himself to Gao, like, just like, and just like, just with that bandage on his nose, like, come on, please accept me, that's being that hopeful, and like, no, I don't, can't, I want Mew, and like, rejection,
horror,
after all that trouble, it's like, Gao, you monster,
yeah,
after he went through high heaven and hell for you,
yes,
and you reject him, like, jeez, I've seen a lot of anime with a lot of freaking, like, basically pain. But jeez Louise, but the show in Pokemon, like, come on, man. Ay, ay, ay.
And they sold it. They sold it so well with the animation. Even, like, the whole, like, how Go rejects him. Like, they don't show his eyes. They do, like, the anime dark pan just of his mouth. It's like, I don't want you. I want you as my partner. It's just like, dude! Dick!
Yes, you know? Yes, and
Go ahead.
Yeah, like, everybody on Twitter was pretty much like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you reject this lovable Scorbunny? I mean, yes, I'm a Sabo fan, but even I gotta admit that Scorbunny did not deserve that pain.
No.
He did not deserve that.
And I know what you're thinking. There's two things you're thinking. Well, wait a minute, Todd. The anime's not gonna end it like this. Go is gonna get with Scorbunny. And you're right. He does eventually catch Scorbunny. And apparently Scorbunny is infinitely adorable in this series based on the clips that we have seen. God bless. Not the point! Alright? You reject him for a legendary that you're likely never gonna catch. Maybe never even see again. I mean, how many times did Ash see Ho-Oh? Twice? And both in passing? He never even saw him in the main series. He saw Lugia multiple times, but he never saw Ho-Oh up close and personal. That was just his vision quest, if you will, to start off the journey and then the push to get him to go to Johto. That's awesome. But he never said, I'm going to go catch Ho-Oh, and I refuse to catch any of the Pokemon before I catch Ho-Oh. Good luck with that. So, yeah, that's not right. And I know what you think. Todd, calm down. This is an anime. Relax. No, screw you. I will not relax, all right? Pokemon means something, and Pokemon should not have to go through that kind of crap. All right, it was bad enough when we had to deal with Paul, who would reject Pokemon if they weren't strong enough. But he was a dick by nature. Gao was a dick by circumstance. All right?
Yes.
And that's not cool. All right? That's not cool. And I'm glad Scorbunny gets with him eventually. That's great. I can't wait to see him evolve into a Cinderace and do his Pyro Ball move in animation. I'm sure it's going to look awesome. But up until that point, I'm going to hate Go because that's a dick move.
Yeah, no, he can't make right wrong. You know, there are some wrongs you can never undo. That's one of them. That's a cardinal sin. You know what? I have a confession. This is shocking. This is shocking. I do that Scorbunny is the best.
Yes!
What?
Yeah. Conversion!
Don't get me wrong. I think Grookey could have been the best. Like his still design, I like more. But Scorbunny, they have so much personality when he's moving and when he's jumping around. He's adorable. Just the effort that they put into him, I feel, elevates him above. He might be my favorite starter, like, across the board. Scorbunny is so well animated and very charming. I have to give it to you, Todd. I have to give it to you. I converted.
And is why I am the host because I'm right.
I was just finding funny you might use Pink Panther because that kind of will go well with Septillion, I think. So yeah, kind of, since he is the agent.
Yeah, but I look forward to seeing how this all unfolds. I would bet you dollars to donuts that it's Ash that convinces Go to take Scorbunny, because even Ash was like, dude, really? This Pokemon is just giving yourself to you. Do you know how many times that's happened to me? That's not a trick question. It's happened to him a lot, if you know the series. But it's just like, dude, A Pokemon is asking to go with you. You don't turn that down. Idiot. I want Mew. Why? What's Mew ever done for you? Does Mew even know you exist? He knows Ashes exist because he's seen him multiple times. He saved his life, technically. Kinda, sorta. It's complicated. So, kids. All of them. See one legendary Pokemon and you think, oh, I'm destined to be with them. That's not how it works. Calming down. Calming down. Screw you, go. Anyway, next up, we got some DLC news for all of you out there looking forward to that. We have a new free DLC for Cadence of Hyrule. either of you have that? I think
I bought it. I haven't played it yet, but okay. I really want to. It looks like a lot of fun.
Okay, so Cadence of Hyrule, aka Krypton Necrodancer, now is going to have Octavo as an unlockable playable character with his own story, weapon, and skills, and a classic Crypt of the Necrodancer dungeon mode. So, and it's free. So basically, since you have the game, you can get that and experience some new stuff. So that's really cool. For those who don't know, Cadence of Hyrule, Octavo is the antagonist of the main game. So I guess once you beat him, then you can play as him, technically. So I'm not sure, I don't have the game myself, but always good to have free DLC. And this was, again, one of them weird collaborations of Nintendo's where, you know, the people of Krypton the Necrodancer are not associated with Nintendo at all. And they're like, we'd love to do some DLC with you guys. And they go, just take it. You know, go with it. Why not? So, thanks, Nintendo. No. Yeah, and by next
year,
Tyler...
Yeah, this game, I've listened to the soundtrack plenty of times just while I'm working, because the soundtrack is so good. Yeah. Really what makes the game. It's like you have to move with the rhythm of the music, so the music obviously plays a huge, huge factor in that, and it is absolutely phenomenal. I'm sitting at an office, and I'm just ready to go run through a wall, because the Hyrule music is, it's like, it's not as loud as Hyrule Warriors, it's just as energetic. Ugh, second to none.
Yeah.
It should have won Soundtrack of the Year. It was nominated for it, but it didn't win it.
Yeah, well, so should have Fire Emblem Three Houses should have been nominated for its music, but it wasn't. So
it really should have. Should have. That was a
crime. So if it's a free update, it's out now. So if you have Cadence of Hyrule, Krypton the Necrodancer, go and enjoy. Then Luigi's Mansion 3 is going to get two DLCs in 2020. The first will come out in April 30th, and the second will be out July 31st. You can buy them as a bundle for $10, which isn't too bad. The first pack will have three new mini games for the multiplayer Scream Park mode, as well as new outfits for Luigi. And then, let's see. Then there will be more mini games added in the second pack and more outfits. So they're just really adding on to the multiplayer. Now, a friend of ours from Outer Haven was asking, shouldn't they have gone more along the lines of single player DLC? I'm not sure that would have worked because of the context of the story in regards to the hotel setting and everything. He was suggesting like some Dark Moons-esque mini mansions. Not sure that that's a good idea because, again, it kind of defeats the purpose. But what do you guys think?
That's an interesting question. You go ahead. Well, you take this one.
Luigi's Mansion, I feel like it's already itself is pretty much a very full product in regards to the single-player DLC.
I agree.
Like, I understand, like, Nintendo basically want to try to, like, expand more on the multiplayer of Luigi's Mansion. I mean, it's not really, like, a well, what's the correct term? Explored territory of Luigi's Mansion. So, like, maybe they want to improve upon that, but if they want to make a single-player, like, more story-based DLC for Luigi's Mansion, I don't know, maybe, like, see why EGAT was there in the first place, but I feel like its single-player offerings is already pretty complete, if you ask me.
I think single-player DLC is always going to be appreciated for a primarily single-player game. Now, whether that would be in the form of mini mansions, I don't know. The game just came out. If they were to release mini mansions now, I would have been unhappy with that because it would have felt like, okay, well, maybe they could have added this into the main game beforehand, especially if it was like expensive. You never know. It's there's so many variables that would have affected how we would have perceived it. But I would definitely like to see single player DLC. I'm glad we have some multiplayer stuff, but single player Luigi's Mansion is always going to be what you really want.
I don't know. I mean, as in all things, it could work if done correctly. But the question is, would it be done correctly? I don't know. And it would have to be something really special for me to purchase it. I'm not going to get these multiplayer DLCs. I have not played the multiplayer in Luigi's Mansion 3. That was not what I was interested in. I was interested in the main game, which was very, very enjoyable. Again, check out our review on the Outer Haven. I don't know. It's just they can't do the mini mansions. You know, they just can't. They need to either work on Luigi's Mansion 4 or do what they're doing now and just make the multiplayer more fun to keep people coming back. But the mini mansions defeat the purpose because this was about a hotel that was possessed or haunted, whatever, and that's different. You know, if they go the Dark Moons approach, then it's just like, you know, why didn't you just add more levels to the hotel? We would have played them all. I definitely would have played them all. Tyler, have you beaten it yet?
I haven't beaten it yet,
That's
no.
what you have not.
No.
I'll add
No, I
that to
have
your
not.
list. Adding it to the list.
Yeah, no,
Anyway.
I've been playing. I have been, yeah, as I said, I have been playing it. I haven't finished it. I'm still really early. I just got the Boo radar, and now, of
Ugh.
course, that means I have to go back and catch all the Boos.
So you gotta catch them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so let us know what you think, whether there should be a single player DLC for Luigi's Mansion 3. We're very curious about what you think. And
And
final.
actually, there's one more DLC I want to briefly bring up as well. It's actually in regards to Three Houses. Because
Yes.
actually, yes, because during the time, like, it's really just a cosmetic change, but Nintendo just updated Three Houses in regards to involving a new outfit for Byleth, basically the Sophist Regalia outfit for both male and female Byleth. And I'm not sure if you checked out the designs of this thing, but again, male Byleth pretty much donning the shorts while female Byleth is like first incarnation of Sophist. So if you want to really deck out your Byleth avatar, then yeah, these outfits are currently available for Treehouse Expansion Pass buyers. And if you want to, yeah, it's currently out on it's currently out available right now. So if you want to get your Sophist Regalia outfit, it's currently out right now.
Yeah. So I've never been interested in the alternative outfits. I mean, I could see why some of them like it, but it just never really mattered much to me, I guess.
And
Yeah.
it's fairly cosmetic, so it really doesn't really play too much. It's just fairly cosmetic, yeah.
I tried to use some of them because I have like a bunch now just from the season pass, and I quickly turned them all back to their normal attire. I don't know, they're cool enough, I guess, but they're not for me. Especially the maid one. I don't understand why. What we should do a segment one day where Will explains why
Are
the
you
maid
seriously trying to
thing
argue against the
is.
maid Moe?
Yes, it's so dumb. I don't know. Edelgard is a conquering warlord. She shouldn't be wearing a
It's
maid outfit.
anime. It's Maid Moe.
Yeah, I
Jeez
know, but it's
Louise.
stupid. It's what it is. It's dumb.
I think that may be a good topic later on to find an NEP next year.
Well, wait, we'll see. All right. Finally, Nintendo has offered a very interesting look into your gaming lives. Sorry. If you go to your My Nintendo profile, it will regale you with your year that was 2019, including your most games played, how much time you spent on those games, what days you've spent the most games on, and of course, how many hours you've been playing this year. So, to basically help wrap up 2019, even though we will be doing that more in full next week, we are going to each show you. So sorry. We're going to each going to show you our Switch 2019 stats. Tyler, start.
Yes. How could I not be ready based on your inspiring hosting while being sick?
It's a gift.
Yeah. So my most played game, this is a real shock, is Fire Emblem Three Houses, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Pokemon Sword, Super Mario Maker 2, and Tetris 99, which is really odd because I probably played that for like 15 hours. So I really have spent time in Smash Bros. And Fire Emblem, which was, I guess, as you can tell by every single week what I've been playing, one of those two games. How many hours did I spend? 748 hours playing Switch. Games have I played? 23. I wish you could see the list of all the games that you played, but that's all right. And then the days that I the most time playing was were July 26th, July 30th, and August, which was Fire Emblem Three Houses opening week. The months are interesting. I spent 100 hours playing in January, which I guess is just Smash Bros. And then 115 in August, which was, of course, Fire Emblem. 96 hours in July. Mario Maker did play a lot, but I'm sure that like half of that is from the launch, where I literally did nothing but play Fire Emblem for three straight days.
All right.
I believe that's all of them. All
right, Will?
Yeah, not really surprised on my side as well. Like, naturally for me, the most played games I have on my list is Fire Emblem Three Houses, 99, Astral Chain, Splatoon 2, and Travis Tries Again, More Heroes. Which, I gotta say, like, I did play a lot of Travis Tries Again, but I didn't expect it to really reach on the list. And naturally Splatoon 2, because again, with the last Splatfests, and of course, few events that actually got... plus Salmon Run is just so much more fun. But yeah, Tetris 99 definitely had its hooks on me when it first came out. I mean, I think the three themes and all that. I mean, heck, Fire Emblem theme on Tetris, why not? And the total amount of hours that I have played during this entire year is 378 hours out of a total of 16 games of Nintendo Switch this year. Which, okay, man, fair enough. I mean, kind of expect wanted to play more, but again, life gets in the way. But heck, 378, not too bad, not too bad on my side. And the most popular day, the most I played is August 3rd, August 31st, and July 27th, which naturally is the whole month of Astral Chain and Fire Emblem Three Houses. And I'm just looking at the month right now, like 127 hours on the month of August. So yeah, I was pretty much on the same bandwagon with the Three Houses when it first came out before Astral Chain came out, which Astral Chain just more or less consumed in my time before then. But yeah.
Not beat Fire Emblem? Astral Chain came out on the 5th of August.
Yeah, it came out the 30th of August.
I was grinding my butt off on each of the levels. I was pretty much making myself too OP. Again, just call me the overly cautious hero. I just want to be so OP I don't have to worry about challenge. So yes, I want to be ready perfectly. If anyone gets that reference, thank you very much.
At this point, you regret that decision at this point.
yes, I need to go to tackle that. Yes. And then, yeah, also just briefly, like, yeah, July and September were also my other most paid months. July 39 hours and September 54 hours. Overall, like, yeah, pretty much like that summer month was pretty much the topper, of course, naturally with Three Houses and Astral Chain. So I would just wonder what next year is going to bring up. So that way, I can't wait to see those stats.
All right, my turn. Let's see. So my top five games of 2019 were Super Mario Maker. I'm kidding. I didn't play the game. Fire Emblem Three Houses, number one. Tetris 99, number two. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy. That was the shocker. That 33. I probably played it for 33 hours. Pokemon Sword was at number four, which is surprising because I honestly don't know. I mean, I think I've had like a 40-hour campaign in that one. Not sure. But yeah, I could have gone longer if I went back to the wild area and just started to roam like I did in the first like 10 hours. That would have been more. And then finally, Astral Chain, which honestly did have a significant storyline, so I'm not surprised that took me back a while. My total gaming hours in 2019 was 363. So I basically played an hour every day, which is a lie because I had so many spans where I didn't play the Switch during a day. Actually, take the back. By the time I'm done with this year, I'll definitely have played it for 365 hours. So yeah, basically an hour every day for the whole year. And then I played 19 games this year. So you actually played more games than me, Tyler. I'm surprised by that. But
yeah, I'm starting to think I might need to seek professional help too, because if you guys combine your hours, I think you pass mine barely. That's a lot of playing video games.
I don't mind. All right, but here's the stat that really I love the most. My most time playing the Switch was July 26th, 27th, and 28th, which was the first 3 days of Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Why am I not surprised? But the fact you made it to three consecutive days as your most played in the year is just amazing.
This is true. This is true. Oh, but it gets better. So my most played month was August, which is not surprising between Three Houses and Astral Chain. And then I'm guessing between the final 3 days of July, I put in 43 or 49 hours of gameplay time. I'm pretty sure I had some other games mixed in between that. Then May, I'm not sure why May was so much. I mean, maybe that's when I got Phoenix Wright Trilogy. That's the only thing I can think of, but I'm not sure. And then November was 35. That was basically all Pokemon. I can promise you that. So, and then December I've played 2 hours. That's changing tonight. I'm going to play Splatoon with our dear friend Cromcho. So I'll get that boosted up, and then I'll be playing Pokemon Shield by the end of the year. So yeah, that's very interesting, these stats. It just shows how gaming like wanes and waxes throughout the year, and it's just about when you have time to play, what games are you playing, and how much do you want to play. Because when I had Fire Emblem, that was the only thing on my mind was, get work done, play Fire Emblem. Get work done, play Fire Emblem. Same with Pokemon. So.
And yeah, I guess we're going to as well, like, even though we're speaking as full-fledged adults with full-time jobs, like, it also depends, like, just the certain days. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm like either one of us, like, have like actually did an entire day's gaming binge. Like, for me, my probably the longest I've ever gone through is pretty much a 9 hour gaming session. That's pretty much me.
I think I did at least 1 or 2 8-hour game sessions with Fire Emblem in the first few days. Pretty sure.
Yeah, when I guess it wasn't this year, but when Smash Bros. Came out at
Yeah.
midnight, I definitely played until noon the next day. So that wasn't great. If you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see what's next: New Year, New Fun. Based on your play history, here are a few games that you might like.
See that.
Did you check out those records?
I
I
did
have
not.
entered. They gave me Enter the Gungeon, Master Zero, Golf, which I definitely wanted, Super Mario Party, which I definitely wanted, and Disgaea 5 I was interested in.
Oh.
But this is a good idea, because now I'm more interested in getting Disgaea 5. And Enter the Gungeon and Blaster Master, I saw them in indie showcases. I was like, oh, that could be good.
Um,
Let's
you
see.
won't go wrong with Disgaea 5. I actually played it on the PS4. You won't go wrong with that. And
Oh.
yeah, I've actually just
Yeah.
looked.
You reviewed it, I remember.
And yeah, I'm actually looking at my list as well. Like, my recommendations was basically River City Girls, Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon, Hollow Knight, and Stardew Valley. Which, again, I do like my harvesting, so Stardew Valley has always been like that one that's really getting to me. So, but I'm still waiting for like official Harvest Moon remake that's supposedly coming to the Switch. There's only currently out in Japan right now, so Nintendo, get your butt moving, please. Bring it over here.
Excuse me, princess. Sorry, I couldn't resist. All right, my recommendations are Hollow Knight, Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, that's very curious. Final Fantasy VII Remake, which doesn't sound right. Pretty sure that's on another console. No, it's just regular Final Fantasy VII, which I have played, but I just stopped. I got bored. I did. World of Final Fantasy Maxima. Very curious. And Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Ah, good choice, good choices.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, but again, once the Nintendo Direct eventually shows up, hopefully we'll have more of a view into what we'll actually be getting next year. So we'll see. All right. So, as is now our tradition, 3 years running, we are going to have a focus on the Christmas element of Nintendo, because it is time for Christmas with Nintendo. Now, if you recall our last two sessions of Christmas at Nintendo, we regaled you with our fondest childhood memories of Nintendo and the games we got. When I got my N64, Will and his mom going out to the Nintendo store to get one of those games during one season.
Nintendo Wii, the toys, toy, Times Square's Toys R Us,
There
yeah,
you go.
back in the day.
And so on and so forth. But then Tyler put a very important message into our ears. We're kind of out of memories.
Yeah,
Oops. mean, you think with me being as ancient as I am at 30, that I would have lifetimes full of Nintendo memories at Christmas? Not really. There's the few that stick out, and so on and so forth. So we decided to rejigger this a little bit. What if Nintendo gave you one wish? Anything. It doesn't have to be game related. It just has to be Nintendo related. If Nintendo could give you one wish, what would it be? And so that is where we're going to tell you our Nintendo Christmas wishes. For anything, just keep it clean. I swear to God, Will. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. I know you, man. I know you. You're my friend, and your support means a lot to me. But dear gosh, if you go weird on this, I will mute you so
Don't
fast your
worry,
head will
ask
smash.
that on Kagura related, please.
You never know. I
Yeah.
don't know with you. I just don't know. Anyway, so, but since you say you're not going to do anything weird, Will, I will allow you to go first. What is your one Christmas wish for Nintendo?
So, if there's something I want to add, Daddy Nintendo, Santa Nintendo, for like giving something for Christmas, it's I'd really want two things. Like, one is if they can gain the rights, if anyway, talk to Capcom or even talk to Platinum Games since they're all buddy buddy now. Please bring Beautiful Joe 3. We have been clamoring for so long since the game's biggest cliffhanger. And again, I love the game back on the GameCube. I love like just how Limp Bizkit was pretty much the main hero. Whip is just the with Sylvia. It's just so good. It's just so like a parody of the movie films. Like this, I feel like this is probably the best parody of like movie films before the whole MCU development came to be. And yeah, I just feel like Nintendo, if you can talk to Capcom and talk to Platinum Games to work together again once, just one more time to bring Beautiful Joe 3, that I'll be very happy. That I would be very grateful for. But the other sin wish that I would ask Daddy Nintendo for, it would probably be, please bring Skies of Arcadia. I know. I've been
Gosh.
badgering this thing up so long. But again, Skies of Arcadia is just one of those, like, we got Shenmue 3. Like, you gotta give that. We got Shenmue 3 after like 18 years of a delay. So why not probably a sequel to Skies of Arcadia? Like, I think it's about time we bring in the Age of Exploration, Age of Piracy back again with I don't know, a sequel or some sort of remake. I just feel like, I don't know, like really bring that sense. I don't know, something incorporate like a Breath of the Wild open worldness with a bit of the exploration that Skies Arcadia is known. I mean, I understand like the previous guy from Overworks who did the game is not like scattered with like who is part of like the Valkyria Chronicles team, which again, Valkyria Chronicles still has cameos of Skies Arcadia characters, so they have not forgotten it yet. So that I'm kind of hoping so. Nintendo, talk with Sega, maybe talk with like Atlas or so. I don't know. Just please, can you get something working on? Bring it as an exclusive? I don't know. Because we played it on GameCube, we played it on Dreamcast, why not bring it on the Switch? I think feel like the perfect age of exploration onto Nintendo. So I don't know. That's just those are my two greatest wish for Santa Nintendo I want them to bring over if they ever decide to.
I just
I'm
want to
surprised you
note.
didn't say like more amiibo,
I mean, we're
more.
getting more amiibo. We're getting more amiibo. We're gonna get the Joker amiibo. We're getting a Terry amiibo. I mean, Banjo-Kazooie amiibo. Sure, we're gonna get those, obviously. I mean,
What
it.
about an amiibo price drop? Because like $15 is a lot, although
One
admittedly, just like you
dollar
have to buy them still.
amiibos.
Oh man, that's
One
great.
dollar.
That would be the greatest gift of all.
One dollar amiibos. Ho,
I mean, that
ho,
would be
ho.
nice. That would be nice. That would like one dollar amiibo, but they can't help it though. It becomes those happy meal dolls. Toys, now I think about it, from McDonald's.
All right, I want to note that today on The Escapist, Zero Punctuation did a thing on Shinbui 3. Yeah, you really shouldn't watch it, Will.
Oh, I watch it. I know how scathing it is. Like it is
Yeah.
again. Like it's not. I agree. Shenmue 3 is not for everyone. It's like, unfortunately, it is true. It's not. It was not a financial success. I'll give it that much. Again, it's like that niche genre for the sake of niche genre. It is pure Shenmue. So if unless you played Shenmue, then you pretty much get it. But for newcomers, it's definitely something that's like you won't get. So it's very niche. It is very niche.
Tyler, are you noticing a pattern with Will?
I am.
Yeah, because here's the thing. When it was just Senken Kagura, I considered it a Will-ism. You know that he loves his anime, he's loved his waifu, he likes the weirdness. I gave him a pass. Then he said, Death Stranding, it's not a game for everyone. It's one who likes, the deeper meanings and everything. He's, praising the Kojima of it all, and that would be the definition of niche. And then he's like, oh no, Shenmue, it's not, for everyone. It's for the niche. And I'm like, Will, I think you got a problem. Because you would rather play these games than the games that you actually should be playing, like Fire Emblem, like Xenoblade in full, like taking less than 2 years to beat Breath of the Wild, like beating Astral Chain. You should have beaten Astral Chain in a week. That is your game. That is anime hardcore. All right? And
And
yet.
I have been Astral Chain. And again,
Oh.
like, if we're not for me, like, okay, I'm just thinking about it. There is a reason why people like play niche games, because again, obviously you won't get the triple A budget marketing that these games, like, I don't know, Astral Chain, Three Houses or that sort. Because someone needs to go somewhere beneath the underground to bring these things up to life. Because us niche game players doesn't bring out to life, no one is. So again, we it's up to like people who play these niche games to bring it to light. And you never know. It could be the diamond in the rough. You never know.
I don't know. I just don't see the appeal in the Amazon Prime Package Simulator 2019.
You
I'm
won't
just
know
saying.
unless you try, boy. Don't go badging on unless you try it.
All I
I
had
would
to do
say
was
that
watch.
Will not continuing to play it proves that he didn't really like it that much, but
But
that would mean Will didn't like
I have
any
played,
games.
and again, I suck so many hours of Death Stranding. Don't argue.
We're your co-hosts. We're supposed to argue. That's literally our job here. So.
Debating. We're intentionally, intelligently debating would be the proper term.
Right. Sure. Right. Yeah. Right. Whatever you say, Will. Right. Anyway, so Tyler, I'm curious about this one. What are your Christmas wishes for Nintendo?
I mean, so of course there are many Christmas wishes that I have for Nintendo, but my biggest wish is honestly very selfish, because it's not
Sure,
something that I
sure.
think most people would care super much about. Well, maybe they would, but it's I wish that Sakurai picks for the next several DLC characters that are A, not a first person shooter characters, and B, super hype characters. And by that I would like to see Sora. I would like to see first party characters included. I would like to see Dixie Kong be added. I would like to see some representation Namco, with I guess Lloyd Irving for me would be super hype, maybe not for other people. I would love to see Lloyd Irving in Echo Fighters as well. I would like to see some Echo Fighters as DLC free tacked on with the new fighters that come out. Shadow the Hedgehog, I want Shadow in. I think that's a reasonable thing for Sakurai to be able to do to get some extra characters in there easily is to give some of the common X Pac-Man, for example, another one. So that's my number one wish is for the next Smash DLC characters to move the meter for me more than Terry Bogard. No shots at Terry, but it didn't quite do it for me. My other big wish, though, is next year we get a Switch upgrade. I want an upgraded Switch very badly. That's the one that I think would hit for more people. Next gen is coming in November. We'll be seeing the Xbox and the PlayStation. There's a lot of the game. The gaming landscape is about to change dramatically, and I hope to see Nintendo push forward with the other companies because I love the Switch. I think the Switch is the best console. From what little we've seen from the other two consoles, I expect the Switch will still be the best. But third-party developers are so key. And if the Nintendo doesn't upgrade in some way, I think we're going to see a drop-off in the third party already been limited. And that is one of my dearest wishes is that that doesn't happen and that we continue to get these games. I can't wait for the Outer Worlds to come. That's what I'm going to play that game on. And I'm afraid that with the PS5 and the Xbox One S series, I can't remember. Nobody
Xbox
can.
Series X, which is so hard to say.
Xbox Series X. I'm afraid that that's not going to happen. So That's my other big.
I can understand that. I mean, I think that's another reason why a lot of people were disappointed in the Game Awards is because, again, we didn't get that final Smash Brothers reveal, which, yeah, Nintendo didn't say it was coming, but they didn't say it wasn't. So, I don't know. But they do have to live up to a little bit of expectation here, because we started out with Joker, which was the shock pick. Then they went with the Hero, which was a surprise, but one that made sense, because Dragon Quest started off on Nintendo, and Sakurai really loves the series. Then they did Banjo, which was the you-wanted-this pick, by far, and Tyler's favorite, of course. Then Terry went back to, you know, Sakurai loves the character, Fatal Fury is a fighting game franchise, which means it fits into perfectly Smash Brothers, which it does. So who is it going to be next? I mean, what could fill the gap? I mean, is it going to be another Shocker? Is it going to be another, you know, fan-requested character like Sora? Is it going to be Sakurai saying, I love this character, and putting them in again? You know, the world wants to know. So, as for the Switch upgrade, I do agree to an extent. You know, having a slightly better Switch would be better, as long as they don't pull, like, in the new 3DS kind of thing, where, you know, certain games are only available on the Switch Pro, or whatever you want to call it. So, as long as they do it in a fair way, I can understand, but there is a risk, but we'll see. And again, with considering that the PS5 and the Xbox whatever is banking everything on graphics, where the Switch is basing everything on great games, you have to wonder, third parties are going to be like, are we really going to spend all this effort to make this graphically emphatical title, or are we just going to, you know, make a game that is awesome, looks well enough, and know it's going to probably sell a lot on the Switch, because the Switch sales speak for themselves. But
they do. Yeah.
We'll see. All right, for me, I really have to contain myself here, because the obvious wish for the Todd, for the host of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, is to get hired by Nintendo.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that I want Reggie's job and to be the new face of Nintendo. I'll earn that once I get hired. You know, that's a gradual thing. But my dream, honestly, for a long time has been to work at Nintendo. I've honestly had that dream longer than I've had wanting to work for DC or Marvel, which, yes, I still want to work for you. Hire me, dang it. But, you know, that's the dream. But I can't say that that's a wish, because that would be an unfair wish, especially since I honestly haven't, like, tried to apply to them for a long time since I've been focusing on my comic writing. But that is still the dream. If I had a wish, though, that I feel could be made to come true, I mean, it'd probably be to have a true return of the Paper Mario franchise.
I almost picked that myself.
I mean, we've talked about it before on the podcast that after Super Paper Mario, which for the record was, yes, a very big divergence from the first two titles, you know, the series just fell downhill. They kept trying to recover, and Miyamoto's like, you know, oh, we got to keep changing it up. You only have to change it up in context. All right, when you have something that works well enough, like a regular Mario franchise, all you have to do is add the little elements, add the slight changes, and it works. Like, look at Luigi's Mansion. What really has changed from 1 to 3? Different power-ups, different ghosts, different setting. You know, the hotel theme with, you know, all the numerous other floors, that was really creative. But the core is still the same. You don't need to change the greatness that is Paper Mario. Thousand Year Door is one of the best RPGs in the world for a reason, or in history for a reason. So, go back to what made that special. We're not asking for Thousand Year Door 2. That would be too much to ask. But go back to that world. Go back to what made it fun, made it special, made it a great RPG. And just bring it back. Bring it back the right way, and hire me as a writer to make sure it gets done right. But that would be the main wish. If I had another wish, like a smaller wish, it would be listen to the fans who want certain franchises back. Where there are so many people that want an F-Zero game. There's a lot of people who want Star Fox. I mean, it won't be as much as Mario or Zelda or Smash Brothers, obviously, or Mario Kart, which we know it's in the making. It's inevitable. But, you know, you've proven that Fire Emblem could sell. All right? And that was niche for a long time. All right? And so put F-Zero in the right hands. Put Star Fox back in the right hands. And make the games that you know you can make with these franchises that you know people love. All right? And give them a chance to be reborn on arguably your best console in a long, long time. So the fans want you to make these titles, and you're going to have to make a, you know, some reaches eventually, because you're going to be running out of first-party titles to go with, to bank on. Like, Animal Crossing is coming out, and we already have Pokemon twice, all right? Zelda twice, Mario three times? Four, if we count Party? Because Odyssey, Deluxe U, Maker 2, Mario Party, yeah, four. So, you know, just listen to the fans. I mean, if it fails, then you know. You did Metroid because you said you listened to us. Make the rest now. We're waiting. And for the love of all that's holy, where's Mother 3? I'm kidding. I was about to say. Now, all I want is Earthbound 2. No, I'm kidding. Technically, that is Mother 3. Yes, I know. But
Bonus wish?
Bonus wish, yes.
Whatever Retro was working on previously that probably got canceled,
More than likely.
I wish that would not have been canceled and that we at least knew what it was. Maybe it could still be canceled. I just want to know what it was. Like, the 6 years that they didn't release a game and we didn't know what they were working on. Yeah. I want that story.
Yeah, I want to know, because I'm with you, because we all thought maybe they're going to do their third Donkey Kong game, especially after, you know, Tropical Freeze did really good on the Switch, you know? And you're like, oh, maybe they'll finish their trilogy. And then it's like, no, we're putting them back on Metroid. And we're like, you know what? I'm okay with this. They did awesome in the trilogy. Let's have it happen. But then we're like, wait a minute, they were working on something beforehand. What was that? We need to know. We deserve to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something that's like one of the mysteries of Retro. Like, again, as I said, it's been 6 years since their last title, and like, again, with all these people coming and going, and of course some people passed away, it's like, what are they doing? Like, it's just so shrouded. Like, what are they doing? The fact that now they restarted production of Metro Prime 4, so what's next? Like, what are they doing? Are they even in the same states? Well, not in the same state anymore, but what is their current state? So that is a great mystery.
You could say we are primed to find out.
Oh! Here's hoping.
All right, and with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, oh wait! Didn't do a poll last week.
That's right. That's right. I don't think there's a pollable topic week either.
No, I agree. Not for this week. Next week, we definitely have one, because that's our year-in-review show. So
yes. Yeah.
So next week, we will be doing our year-in-review, as noted. We'll be looking back at the 2019 Nintendo Draft and see who came out on top. Clearly, I did, because I'm the host. I don't know what Tyler's delusions are telling him. I said Fire Emblem needs to be a near-perfect masterpiece. I got that. I'm fair in saying that. I think that puts me on top. So,
well, I don't know if that like did more to Nintendo having an amazing year than my picks, which were true, which became reality.
We will find out.
We'll find out.
And then we'll be giving off our picks for best games of the year for the Switch and even the eShop if you want. So stay tuned for that. And of course, we want to know your favorite games of the year that was 2019 for the Nintendo Switch. And only the Nintendo Switch will. Say Death Stranding.
Yes.
Say Death Stranding.
I have a question, though. What were your thoughts on episode 6 of The Mandalorian?
Stop.
Was that...
No spoilers.
I gotta say, not spoiling everything. It's definitely an interesting bit. I mean, I understand what they're trying to, like, incorporate, including with the films. I get that point. But I can also see, like, all right, they're trying to make it. But, of course, Disney wanted to try to kill Milton the franchise. So, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean,
this is a Nintendo podcast. Stop it.
So. I was kidding. I didn't expect an actual answer. But I like the answer.
It's Will. What do you think was going to happen?
Hold on. You want me to say more Seren Kagura? I'll gladly say more Seren Kagura.
Shut up. All right. And then, we'll be doing all that next week, and then the following week, of course, will be our 2020 Nintendo Draft, which I'm very excited about. So, We look forward to sharing that all with you. And of course, let us know everything you thought about the news of the week. What did you think about the Game Awards having 45 million live streams? Isn't that incredible? What are your thoughts on all the Pokemon news? And do you want hashtag justice for Scorbunny? I was also thinking of hashtag down with Gal, but I just that I don't know if that would have worked. So, and then let's see, all the DLC. Are you interested in the Cadence of Hyrule or Luigi's Mansion DLC? And tell us some of your stats from the year that was 2019. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time and we are not out of lives. You made it to the end of the level. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. So raise the flag.